Hey there, troublemakers. I'm Stephanie Mitchell, and welcome to Troubling Travels. This is a podcast where you can listen along to join me on my travels and learn all about the paranormal, folklore, and true crime stories from some of the world's most popular destinations. We have finally reached my favorite time of year, happy October, and most importantly, happy spooky season. This is what kind of inspired me to come back to this podcast. I was like, I don't know if I'm ready yet. I want to bank some episodes. Nope. It had to be ready in October, so here we are. I'm recording this very last minute because I did not bank episodes like would have been the logical thing to do, but I was way too excited to tell some classic Halloween tales from around the world, and I'm so excited not just to tell the scary stories, but also to dig into the history that inspired them. I've covered my hometown and the city my family is from, so now it's only fitting for me to tell you a story from where I currently live. Today, I'm going to tell you about a notorious castle that is just a quick drive outside of my current home, Frankfurt, Germany. You may have heard of it. It's this little place called Burg Frankenstein. Before I get into the history of the surrounding area, I'm just gonna preface this with an apology to any Germans or any person who speaks the German language. I'm gonna butcher a few words. I'm doing my best, even though I live here. Your language is very hard to learn, okay? So bear with me. But Frankenstein Castle, or Burg Frankenstein in German, that one, I nailed it. It's a hilltop castle overlooking the city of Darmstadt, which is just 45 minutes outside of Frankfurt am Main, where I live. Darmstadt is a major city in the German region of Hesse, and it holds the title of Wissenschaftsstadt, or Science City. They're known for their noteworthy achievements in the areas of agriculture, forestry, and nature conservation, which is pretty cool. It's one thing I love about Germany is they're very, very green and trying to, you know, they're very conscious of how they impact the environment, and I love that about this country. Darmstadt also has a history of being, but they have a history of being a Künstlerkolonie, or an artist colony, where a group of patron-funded artists worked together at the turn of the 20th century, making art, but also inspiring some of the architecture around the city. But unfortunately, like much of Germany, Darmstadt was largely destroyed by air raids during World War II. But thankfully, they weren't completely flattened, like most of Frankfurt. And many historical sites did survive the war, including the famous Burg Frankenstein. So Frankenstein, it's a German name and has two parts. So Franken, which refers to the Franks, which were a Germanic tribe, and Stein, which just means stone, which is really commonly used in names, landscapes, places, castles. But, you know, put them together, and Frankenstein basically just means Stone of the Franks. We aren't sure when exactly Frankenstein Castle was built, but the castle was first mentioned in historical records in 1252. These records implied that the castle had already been built and was being used at that time, so most historians agree it was probably built around 1240. The castle saw a lot of construction and additions in the 16th century, and it was during this time that Frankenstein Castle reached the dimensions it still has today. In the 17th century, though, the Lord of Frankenstein Castle came into some territorial disputes with the Landgraviate. I'm not sure if I'm saying that right. That's not a word I'm familiar with, but basically, like, governor, I think, is the vibe that I got. But the Landgraviate of Hesse-Darmstadt, and in 1662, after a bunch of lawsuits, he ended up selling the lordship to the Landgrave, and the castle changed hands a few times in the following decades. Eventually, it fell into the possession of a landgrave who was much more interested in Le Frankenstein's territorial possessions rather than looking after the castle itself, which is fair. Maintaining a castle is really expensive, and I think at this time they were much less functional, so it wasn't really worth it. So after a while, the castle fell into disrepair. During this time, the castle was used for a few different purposes, such as a refuge during war times, a hospital, and a home for invalids until falling into complete ruin in the 18th century. The castle was basically sold for scrap at one point. The lead of the roofs, the bricks, even the wooden stairs all were taken apart and sold by one of the castle administrator's wives. The farmers of the neighboring villages even used the castle as a cheap quarry until there was literally like no stones of the original castle left. Walls were torn down completely, cellars destroyed, and unfortunately not much of the original structure was left. Most of what you see today when you visit the castle or hike to it, as I'd recommend, is a restoration thanks to Grand Duke Ludwig III, who tried to breathe new life into Frankenstein Castle. Pun intended. Get it? This was in the middle of the 19th century, and it was more or less successful. The restoration was going more for like castle vibes rather than accuracy of the original structure. So floors have been added that never existed, and even the two towers that are really distinctive, like they're the first thing you see when you Google a photo of it, they're completely inaccurate. They weren't there in the original structure. The 20th century saw even more construction on the castle, and since Frankenstein Castle was and is a popular hiking and excursion destination, they added a panorama restaurant with a viewing terrace at the end of the castle in the 1960s. And side note, I haven't personally eaten at this restaurant, but I have heard amazing things about it. So if you ever find yourself there, get a little snack. There is a parking lot right next to the castle, but I do really recommend hiking up to it, especially if you visit in autumn. I believe there are like a few different trails, but I know there are some that are pretty easy. Like, I'm not a hiker. I'm pretty out of shape, and I managed. And they're not too long, and the German forests are really stunning to walk through. Like I said, Germans really value their nature and preserving it, and I think if you visit Germany, it is worth going out into the nature that they love so much here. One sillier historic event that's a bit more recent. Germany has a massive American military presence, and they have since World War II, especially in the region of Hesse where I live. Now, Germans and Halloween don't really go together. You'll find at most a small stand of Halloween decorations in your local grocery store, but there isn't that much participation. The Americans, however, we still love to celebrate. So naturally, when a bunch of young military men find out they're a short drive from the Frankenstein Castle, some shenanigans are going to happen around this time of year. So one story goes, on Halloween night in 1952, a man named John Keel sent three American Forces Network reporters to Frankenstein Castle to explore the castle for a live radio broadcast. The reporters were told that a local legend claimed that Frankenstein's monster would return to the castle that night. Reporter Carl Nelson investigated the castle's crypt, where Keel had set up a statue in the middle of the crypt and rigged it to move and topple over as a prank. But this absolutely terrified Nelson, and he ended up creating a mini, like, War of the Worlds scenario during the broadcast, because apparently frightened radio listeners who didn't know this was a prank bombarded the station with calls, and the military police ended up being dispatched to the castle. And a few years later, U.S. soldiers created the annual Halloween festival. To this day, Germany's largest Halloween festival takes place every year at Frankenstein Castle. I went last year, and they have the entire castle ground set up as a haunted house with scare actors who interact with you, and there's shows and food and beer, and it's an all-around good time. But like I said, Germans will participate in Halloween, but they don't really get it. So the actors messing with you ends up being kind of more funny than scary. But personally, I prefer it that way. As much as I love Halloween, I don't actually enjoy being scared. So It was a really good time. I definitely recommend it, and I will probably be going back this year. But now you may be asking yourself, is the name of this castle significant or just a coincidence? Could Frankenstein be just a common German name that we happen to associate with an infamous mad scientist and his monster? While the answer to that is debated, it is indeed very likely the author Mary Shelley took inspiration from Burg Frankenstein and its lore when writing her now famous novel. But you may be surprised to learn she wasn't only inspired to use the name Frankenstein, but she may have also been inspired by a local legend as well. So there is a local legend about an alchemist who was born in Frankenstein Castle named Johann Conrad Dippel. Dippel was born in 1673 at Frankenstein Castle, and he often returned when he got into trouble elsewhere, which was often. He had to flee Berlin, disguised as a Swede. He was sentenced to life in prison in Denmark, but was released after about 10 years, and later was expelled from the country of Sweden. So it's safe to say Dippel was a bit of a wild card, to put it nicely. Dippel was highly educated as a theologian and physician, but also as an alchemist, and his work in alchemy is what he's most remembered for. He spent time collaborating with other famous alchemists and working under the patronage of kings, even trying to find a way to turn lead into gold, but was obviously unsuccessful. Modern chemistry knows that that's just not a thing that happens, but back then it was the big goal of science. One of Dippel's accomplishments was an animal oil he called an elixir of life, but was likely just snake oil, possibly literally, because that animal in the animal oil wasn't specified. Dippel actually attempted to buy Burg Frankenstein in exchange for his elixir formula, but the offer was turned down. Probably a smart choice on whoever the owner was. But y'all didn't tune in to hear about some 17th century alchemist, but don't worry, because this guy had to flee several countries and had at least one lifelong prison sentence, and we aren't even to the interesting part yet. You see, there are rumors that during his stay at Burg Frankenstein, Dippel practiced not only alchemy, but also anatomy, and may have performed experiments on dead bodies that he exhumed. More like grave robbed. This actually isn't that wild, though. He was a physician, and for most of history, cadavers were extremely hard to come by. People were typically much more religious back then, and donating their body to science wasn't exactly their idea of a good afterlife, of being at peace. So you had to wait around for a local criminal to be executed, and even then, cadavers that were acquired this way, which were, you know, the honest legal way at this time in history, were typically very expensive. So grave robbing may not be morally justifiable, but not exactly an uncommon occurrence for most of history. But what is definitely not understandable is that Dippel wasn't doing your basic run-of-the-mill dissections. He wasn't just studying biology in order to better understand human anatomy so he could treat the living as a physician. No, no. According to local lore, he was actually a sorcerer and had made a pact with the devil. A local cleric even warned his parish that Dippel was chopping up these bodies and piecing them together, and then he used these bodies to create a monster that he brought to life by a bolt of lightning. Sound familiar? But let's not get too ahead of ourselves. It can't actually be proven whether or not Mary Shelley took inspiration from the story of Dippel and Burg Frankenstein. It is hard to overlook, however, just how similar the tale is to her famous story. But you may be asking, how did Mary Shelley, an English novelist, hear about this German folktale about a random castle just like any other that dot the German landscape? Well, there are two possibilities. To explain further, one thing you need to know about Mary Shelley is that her parents were super rad, like way ahead of their time, cool people. Her father was a political philosopher, anarchist, and her mother was super progressive, a feminist activist, Oh, I love her. And unfortunately, her mother died giving birth to Mary Shelley, but her father eventually remarried to his neighbor, who was also an author, publisher, and bookseller, which is like my dream job. But though Mary and her stepmother actually didn't get along too well, but I have a hard time believing she wasn't at least a little bit inspired by her author stepmother. I mean, come on. And I don't mean inspired just to write in general, but that it is entirely possible that Shelley got the idea for her novel Frankenstein through her stepmother, at least indirectly. You see, when the Grimm brothers, yes, as in Grimm fairy tales, Brothers Grimm, TV show called Grimm, inspired by them in their stories, when they were collecting fairy tales, as they did, in the Hessen region right in the neighborhood of Frankenstein Castle, they heard a horror story. It was about this alchemist, theologian, and doctor by the name of Johann Conrad Dippel von Frankenstein. A local pastor shared this local legend with the brothers, and he must have been a fan of their work because it sounds to me like he Grimmified the tale. Here's how he recounted the story of the grave-robbing Dippel. Dippel was hired as an alchemist by the Landgraves of Hesse, and they wanted him to turn lead into gold for them, and they provided him with a laboratory in what was once the prison of Burg Frankenstein. According to this pastor, Dippel was also using the laboratory space for a few side projects of his own. You see, he wanted to create a new human being from body parts, the blood of virgins, and maybe a little bit of witchcraft mixed in there as well. Well, Dippel succeeded, but when his creation opened its yellow eyes on a dull, foggy November afternoon, it struck down Dippel with one blow and fled into the surrounding woods. The lonely monster still lurks there today, trying to get a hold of children, or preferably virgins, for him to, quote-unquote, play with. Very Grimmified, am I right? In an 1813 letter, Jacob Grimm wrote this horror story to the English translator of the fairy tales, Mary Jane Claremont, the stepmother of Mary Shelley. And that is one possible way Shelley heard this story, but she may have actually heard about it from a firsthand experience. In 1814, Shelley was traveling with her stepsister Claire and Percy Shelley, who would eventually become her husband. During her travels, she went on a journey along the Rhine River, and we can confirm that she was within 10 miles of Burg Frankenstein. And while none of her journals or records reference the castle, some sources claim she actually visited the castle itself. 2 years later, at Lake Geneva, Mary Shelley wrote Frankenstein, the new Prometheus. The story goes, it was a stormy June night, because of course it's a stormy night. Five friends, Shelley, her stepsister Claire, her lover Percy, and their host, Lord Byron, and his doctor, were looking to keep entertained. After a spiritualist reading, Lord Byron was not done with the spooky fun. He challenged the group to see who could write the scariest story. The doctor and Claire pretty quickly lost interest, but this writing challenge produced not only Frankenstein, which obviously won the competition, by the way, but also what was essentially the first draft of Percy Shelley's famous poem, Mazeppa. I'm not sure if I pronounced that right, but it was also known as The Vampire. I think it was kind of like a Dracula prerequisite. In truth, there are three scientists that likely inspired Mary Shelley's character, Victor Frankenstein. The first is the grandfather of the famous Charles Darwin, Erasmus Darwin. He taught as an anatomist at a very famous university, the University of Ingolstadt, at which, according to Mary's novel, Victor von Frankenstein studied, you know, in her story, which makes a lot of sense because Ingolstadt was known for what we call Ingolstadt experiments, where they pair electricity with corpses and corpse parts. Picture formaldehyde frog legs being shocked and twitching for people to see. And this was really popular around this time in England. Like, they would do demonstrations for a crowd of people. The second possible scientist is Benjamin Franklin with his experiments on electricity. These experiments were particularly popular in Mary's childhood home because her father happened to be very interested in the subject. But this one, I don't think it's as likely as the others, but whatever. The third man is, of course, our guy, Alfred Dippel, or at least the legends about him. I mean, he's remembered for experimenting on human corpse parts at Frankenstein Castle, and she turned this horror story she knew from Jacob Grimm's correspondence with her stepmother or her personal experience into a novel about her famous mad scientist. But of course, I can't do a Halloween episode without a little bit of ghost action. So there are a few ghost stories at the castle, and this first one also involves a dragon of all things. So the legend goes, once upon a time, a dragon took up residency nearby, and like any other dragon, this dragon's favorite pastime was terrorizing medieval villagers. And the villagers came up with a plan. So not any old peasant can slay a dragon, so our only other alternative is, yep, human sacrifice. Jumped straight to human sacrifice. Specifically maidens, because of course, what kind of dragon would be appeased by a sexually active middle-aged woman? Gross. or a man. Can't give the dragon a man because, well, you know, the patriarchy. So they rounded up all the village maidens, had them pull straws or something, and the lucky human sacrifice was a young lady named Anne Marie, who, of course, was the most beautiful maiden of all the land because, you know, we don't write legends about average-looking people back then. They even called Anne Marie the Rose of the Valley. And lucky for Anne Marie, she had a literal knight in shining armor waiting in the wings. On the day she was supposed to be sacrificed, her knight set out to kill the dragon. Not sure why he waited for his girlfriend to be Dragon Chow. I guess he was just okay with other women getting eaten. I don't know. Doesn't seem all that chivalrous to me personally. But who am I? They fought for hours, but her knight was winning. And unfortunately, right as he made the killing blow, stabbing the dragon in its soft underbelly, the dragon stabbed the knight right back with its venom-tipped tail. And they both died, and the knight was buried at Frankenstein Castle. I'm not sure what happened to Anne Marie after that, but I don't think she took the loss of her boyfriend very well, as she still haunts the Tower of Burg Frankenstein and is known for occasionally throwing rocks at tourists, which I get it. I lived in a tourist town. I don't blame her. And of course, we can't forget about our old friend Dipple. The spirit of the alchemist Dipple still haunts a nearby churchyard and disturbs the peace of the dead. At Frankenstein Castle, his spirit is typically experienced between the chapel and the Powder Tower, especially on the nights between Christmas and January 1st. He often sits on the chapel roof, and it's said he's looking for the now buried entrance to his laboratory so he can continue his experiments. Excitingly, this is just childhood nostalgia for me. The sci-fi TV show Ghost Hunters International also made a whole episode about the castle in 2008, where they were able to record several EVPs, all in old German, including the phrase, translated obviously, Arbo is here, which they connected to a man named Arbogast, who was once a knight at the castle. Now this episode is particularly funny because they are just shouting to what... to what should be German ghosts in American colloquial English and just hoping to get something in return. I'm surprised they got something saying Arbo is here rather than just like, I don't understand what you're saying. But, you know, I'm not a ghost hunting expert. And there you have it, the lore of the real Frankenstein Castle and the possible inspiration for Mary Shelley's famous mad scientist and monster. Thank you for tuning in. If you enjoyed this, please remember to rate, review, and subscribe. You can also show your support by following my Instagram and TikTok, which is at Tats and Travel. You can find linked below, where you can get updates on the show and see photos from the places I discuss on each episode. I will be back with another episode next week, but until then, stay out of trouble.